Well, today, I'm going to spend a little time in God's Word. I guess that's what you all came here for, right? So if you would turn to Isaiah chapter 8. And last week when John taught, he shared this scripture and it really blessed me. Isaiah 8. And we're going to read verses 13 and 14. It says, Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. But what I wanted to just say here was that he shall be for a sanctuary for us, his people. And that word sanctuary is a really wonderful word. It says it's a hallowed part of place, an asylum. Now, when you hear the word asylum, you think of not a good thing, right? But an asylum is a place of protection, a safety. And I thought of it's a place where God is present. And God is present with us every second of every day. So we have that wonderful sanctuary of God with us all the time. And I thought about what to name this teaching. I couldn't come up with anything. And then I thought about maybe, you know, what do you call those support pets? You know, the people you see in people on trains and support animals. Now, God is not our support animal, but he is our support. And he's a comfort to us. When people have those pets or animals, whatever, it comforts them. It really helps them to, you know, be their best. And we have God with us every second of every day, and he never leaves us. Go to Psalm 15. God is our support being like nothing else can be. Not that there's anything wrong with support pets and all that, I'm not saying that, but he's our support. He's the one that takes care of us. He's the one that brings us into his sanctuary and comforts us and takes care of us. In Psalm 15, we're going to read the whole psalm. Five verses, so strap it in. It says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? That's another wonderful place, the tabernacle. It's a covering, it's a place of safety. So who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And then it goes on to say these wonderful things we can do as believers. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Those are wonderful things, right? Those are things we as believers want to do. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Those are things we don't want to do. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. So we do those wonderful things, and we can do even greater those things because we can speak in tongues. We can pray in with perfectness to God. And it says that he shall never be moved. And that means to be cast out. We can't be cast out of God's goodness, out of God's love and his tenderness. Go to Psalm 73. I'm going to stick around in Psalms for a little bit. Psalm 73, and this one, actually we are going to read this whole psalm, and it's wonderful. Everybody there? All you electronic people over there. Yeah. Pretty nifty, huh? So we're going to start in verse 1. It says, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So this guy was taking his focus off God and godly things, and he was starting to slip. And then here he goes, he's explaining more things. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their comfort and their protect, they think their protection is through violence and trouble. Look at pride compasseth them as with a chain. They're covered in pride. Their eyes, verse 7, stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out. These people who are doing all these bad, evil things are seem to be plenteous and have plenteous and taken care of. And they say, how doth God know? They question God. And is there knowledge in the Most High? They question God because they, through their evilness, think they're taken care of, which is not the case. Behold, verse 12, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. So when he was thinking on these old crappy worldly things and how, you know, these people have it better than me. Why, woe is me. It was too painful. Which, when we do think about those things, it is very painful, and it's not productive. It's not godly. But then, verse 17, our guy here comes to his senses. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, the beautiful, hiding, wonderful, safe place, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Casteth them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. So when he came to his senses, and when he came back to thinking about God and what God had for him, and, you know, that the ways of the earthly man, the way they were getting their need met, was not the way that God wanted it, he was getting more peaceful. Verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And then, this is wonderful. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. So he came to a conclusion of God, and then God took care of him. Verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth. The fleshiness of our lives are going to fail us. They're going to cease. They're going to perish. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. They go wandering away from God. And what we want to do is we want to continue to just stay as near to God as we can. And it's easy for us because we have him inside of us, right? We have God in Christ in us. But, verse 28, it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. And that word declare means to celebrate. So when we put God in our forefront, he just blows us away with all his wonderful, mighty goodness to us. And we can celebrate all of his good works in our lives. Pretty cool. Go to Psalm 90. And we're going to read verse 1 and 2. It says, "The Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting." So God is our dwelling place before time began. Dwelling place is our retreat. And then the wonderful part of it is that that everlasting to everlasting, you know what that means? All the time, ever. A long time without end. That's what our God, he never wants to put an end to his goodness to us. In Psalm 91, which is right next door, and we're going to read this whole psalm too. Psalm 91 in verse 1, he says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust." So he's my refuge. That refuge is another. It's a place of safety. And my fortress. And you know what a fortress is. It's like a fort. And it's tough to get in a fort, because it's being protected, it's being fortified, and that's what God is for us. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. And we have his truth, right? We have his word, we go to his word, and we look at it, and we see that God wants to take care of us. He wants the best for us. And this is wonderful here. "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." So he's covered us at the night, and he's covered us during the day. He's covered us so that we can have a peaceful, restful sleep, and we can have wonderful days, because he's taking care of us during the day too. "Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." And then I look at this great mind picture here. "A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked." And I think about that, you know, "A thousand shall fall by thy hand, you know, right side." People put these little video clips up of these near accidents that people have, like a guy will be walking and then a truck will just, you know, swoop by and be like, "What the heck, you know, what happened?" Just the things that we don't see that God takes care of us. Like, just picture him lifting us out of a situation and us not even knowing what happened. Verse 9, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." And that habitation is a retreat. You know, it's a retreat for us to go to God and be taken care of. "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." And we even have greater than angels, because we have him and his son inside of us. Verse 12, "They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under thy under feet." He'll protect us. And then this is a wonderful verse here. "Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." So God is going to continue to just be with us and take care of us. He's just a real wonderful, loving God. And that word deliver means he's a cause to escape. So there's no situation that we could ever be in that we can't escape from when we have God. There's no, we can be healed of sickness, disease. We can be protected in times of trouble and, you know, in storms and all this stuff. God can take care of us. And then in verse 16 it says, "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." That's a great God. Let's go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. All right, now verse 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a what? Strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." And, you know, safe, the strong tower is a safe place. And the righteous, we can run into that tower anytime. Oh, and I love that word safe. I looked it up and it means an inaccessible place. So when God is taking care of us, we are inaccessible to the people or to the things that want to harm us or do harm to us. We're inaccessible to us because we got a great God. And then the reason why we got this, and you all know this, but let's read it anyway. In Romans chapter 10, Romans 10, and in verse 9 we'll start. I think I heard of that one before. I bet most of you have heard this one. It says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And we know that saved means made whole, delivered, and it also means protected. Thou shalt be saved. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And that means disappointed in our expectations. And I'm going to read one more. Verse 12. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And again, that means protected. So we can call upon the name of the Lord anytime, and he's going to just keep taking care of us. And that word rich, too, means, who can guess? Wealthy. It means increased with goods. And it's not just goods, it's God's goods. And God has better goods than anybody that I can think of. And then whosoever means whosoever. Go to Psalm chapter 5. Psalm 5. Where are we? Verse 11 and 12. It says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." So you get the picture here? God wants to surround us with his goodness, his love, his protection, and he wants to keep taking care of us. But, and then I love that it just says that, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. We can rejoice because God's taking care of our every need. In Psalm 27, verse 5. In verse 5 it says, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion." Right? Now, God's pavilion is a wonderful place. It's a peaceful place. And he takes care of his people there. But this is funny. "In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." So is he going to hide me, or is he going to set me up upon a rock? Which is he going to do? But he's going to take care of us, because the rock means a cliff, a very high place. And when God puts you on a cliff, no one can get at you, on his cliff. So we just got to keep going to him and let him take care of us. A place where no one can get to when God's protecting us. And in Psalm 36, we will finish up here. And then verse 7 through 10. "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy sight, in thy light, shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart." And that's us. As we endeavor to do God's word and his will, we are the upright in heart. And God blesses us back by taking care of us like no other thing can, like no other pet or pet mouse or whatever can. God does a way better job. So, okay?